Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. We got a hell of a show tonight, folks. Some of it's going to shock you. Some of it's going to surprise you. Some great stuff happening this past week came to my attention, and I want to share it with you. If you wish to call in, the number's on the screen, 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. Happy to hear from you. Agree with me, disagree with me, say anything you like. Okay, here we go. We are going to start with Black Jesus. You heard me. I intend no disrespect. I am Catholic. I am starting, though, with Black Jesus. Why Black Jesus? Because, my friends, come this Thursday night, there's a new television show. You heard me, a new television show titled Black Jesus. The show is going to appear on a channel called, it's a cable network channel, I've never heard of this channel, Adult Swim. It shares channel space with another operation called Cartoon Network. Both of these operations are owned by Turner Broadcasting, which is part of Time Warner. The significance, forget that we're getting into a sensitive area perhaps with Black Jesus, is that this show will be available to 98 million, you heard me, 98 million pay TV households in the United States. Big. All right, now what is this? Well, Jesus is Jesus. He walks around wearing robes. The time of the show is today. It takes place in a city called Compton, California. I repeat, Compton, California. Jesus is black. Ain't no question about it. I've seen some prelims of the show. He's black, black. He has, what does he have? Well, he has a following. You know, Christ had the apostles. He's got a small group who are black also, or tan. Not necessarily total black, some of them. And they follow him around and support him and do whatever he wants them to do. I don't know if they take him seriously, but they follow him. He speaks to the people. He is caring. he speaks tough. He talks the talk of the street. The word, you know, that nice word, bad word, begins with F, ends with K, is part of the language of the show, part of Jesus' language. Jesus, back more than 2,000 years ago, he spoke the talk of the people, the street talk, and so does this Jesus. There are many comparisons here. Now, this is supposed to be a comedy. It's supposed to be funny. On the other hand, some people who are aware of the show and or have seen some pieces or parts of it are uptight. They feel the show mocks Jesus Christ. The show producers say, no, it does not mock. Rather, it's out there to expose hypocrisy when it comes to religion. I don't know. I have to wait to see several shows. I'm sure you do also. Some of the people who have seen it, the Christian groups, say it is twisted, insulting, disgusting, blasphemous. On the other hand, there are people who have seen it who like it. And they say, they come up with this one word, awesome. The show is awesome. Now, I don't know if Jesus was black or white. I'm white. I grew up in a church that has pictures of Jesus that are white, statues of Jesus that are white. I never saw a statue or a picture of Jesus black. On the other hand, we have to remember, Jesus comes from Jerusalem, Galilee. This is the Middle East. People in the Middle East aren't necessarily white. Some are black. Many are tan. A famous historian, I read this somewhere recently, I can't recall his name though, said he believed that the face of Jesus was dark brown, suntanned, dark brown, sinewy in appearance. Now, I don't know if he was black, I don't know if he was white, I don't know if he was Asian, I don't know what he was, but I know this. The show is going to cause, I'm laughing as I say, it's going to cause some controversy. Jesus' followers in the show don't really believe he's Jesus, by the way. One of them said, and I quote, "He ain't Jesus Christ. He's just some crazy dude who thinks he's Jesus." Whatever, it's going to be interesting. I can't watch it. I tried to figure out how I can get the show on my Comcast channel. I can't. Those of you who do watch it, I hope you'll write and tell me what you think about it. I know come Friday morning there's going to be a lot of stuff in the media about the show, Black Jesus. Okay, we're going to move on now. We have these children who came across the border, 50-some-odd thousand from Mexico and the United States, came from El Salvador, Honduras, wherever, and they're in the United States. The number's now up over 70,000, I understand. And we should take care of these kids, I think, and we're not taking care of them. Politics got in the way. The Republicans got in the way of doing the right thing. I've got to say this, the House Republicans, and they should be ashamed. You may not agree with me, but that's how I feel. The president said he needed $3.7 million to take care of these kids. They came up with $680 million. No, the president needs $3.7 billion. The House of Representatives, who are in charge of money and do the budget stuff, came up with $800 million, somewhere around there, under $1 billion. So nothing's done. Nothing's resolved. And the House of Representatives on Friday went home on vacation. They have a five-week vacation ahead of them, and these kids still aren't taken care of. And I'm sure you've seen pictures now, because the Internet is carrying these every day of where and how these children are being treated. They're not being beaten. They're not being abused directly, but there's indirect abuse. They're living behind chain-link fences, behind barbed wire. They sleep on bathroom floors, shower floors. Some now have blankets. They sleep on top of each other, by the way. Some now have blankets. Some still don't. They're covered in huge sheets of aluminum foil because the aluminum foil retains the body heat to keep them warm. They are not getting proper medical attention. They are permitted outside of the buildings where they're kept for 30 minutes a day. Would you believe only 30 minutes a day? We're not doing our job. Now, here's what bothers me about this, is that we should worry about them. This is the United States of America. We take care of people. This is not the American way, at least not from my perspective. This is not how we treat people. And we're not handling these kids the proper way. I've said this before. I think I said it on the show last week. I've written about it in my blog. And I believe this. Those who vote against these children, fail to give enough money for these children, fail to take care of them. Why they're here is immaterial. They are here. They are now our responsibility. They've been dumped in our lap. Suppose it was their children or their grandchildren. You know, there's a golden rule out there. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And these fellows, and these people, rather, in Congress, they're not following that golden rule. And the people in Marietta, California, who stopped the buses from bringing people in, they're not following the golden rule. What's happened to us? This is not the way this country used to be. This is not the way this country should be. This is bad. And this is what's happening to us. Which means, now, I want to go to another point on this. They aren't the only children we got to worry about. We still have to worry about those children who are living in poverty, our own children who are living in poverty in the United States today. One quarter of all children in the United States live in poverty. That means one in four children live in a family below the federal poverty line. I did a show on this, I think, on television last year, that I forget how many million children, 17 million or something, I don't remember the actual number, get up every morning to go to church, to go to school, rather. They live in an abandoned car with their mother. They live in an abandoned car. They get up in the morning, kiss mom goodbye, and go to school from their home, the abandoned car. They don't have breakfast generally. And they get their breakfast at school because we have these breakfast programs. And this is another thing the Republicans tried to get rid of last year and did for a while. You know, these breakfast programs. We've got to remember about those kids in this country who are starving too or in trouble and need help. They need assistance because the House Republicans forgot them too, okay? And we can handle both of these problems. You know, I hear on television, just as you do now, oh, the recession's over, we made it. The market is high, 17,000. Big business is doing well. I don't know. You know, it's the big guys are doing well. The banks are doing well. The corporate CEOs are doing well. But it's still, you know, the disparity in income. You hear it on TV all the time. It's going to be a presidential campaign issue in the next presidential election. It's the 1%, 99%. The 1%'s doing terrific. What about the other 99%? Because that 25% of children who live in this country and are living poorly are part of that 99%. So when they tell us, oh, we beat the recession, unemployment's only at 6.2%. We throw a couple of 200,000 people every month into jobs now. Yeah, where? Jobs at McDonald's that pay like that kind of money? No more $30, $35 an hour jobs. So it's all gone. It really isn't true. All I'm saying, we've got to take care of the kids that came over the border, which are a drop in the bucket compared to the children we're already not taking care of. In this country, we have a double burden and a double responsibility, okay? Which now brings me to jails. The United States is obsessed with prisons. We love prisons. Let me give you some data, some specifics, to show you how obsessed we are and overly enamored with prisons, and how we think that prisons are going to solve our problems. We put everybody in jail, and they'll learn. They'll never do it again. In the meantime, we keep them off the streets. To keep a prisoner in jail for 1 year in a federal prison, this is taxpayer dollars now, costs $78,000. Now, give you a little sideshow here. If that prisoner's in Guantanamo, you know, we got these guys in Guantanamo, we shouldn't even have a Guantanamo, just like the children coming over the border that were not properly taken care of. Another stigma, another shame for our country is Guantanamo. It costs $2.8 million per prisoner. Would you believe it? $2.8 million per prisoner to keep them in Guantanamo. Those people can be thrown in federal prisons across the United States, and we can take care of them for $78,000. This is ridiculous. Anyhow, some more statistics. The United States has more people in prison than any other nation in the world. And the funny part is, while we're in love with prisons, and we think it's solving our crime problem, violent crimes last year were up 15% in the United States. We got all these people in prison, but violent crimes were up 15% last year. Jails are not working. Remember Eisenhower when he was leaving office? He said, beware of the military-industrial complex. Well, what we have today is a prison-industrial complex, a prison-industrial complex that is costing taxpayers, you and me, $60 billion a year. Let me give you some numbers. We have 2.4 million people in jail today. Since 1980, the number of people in jail in the United States has quadrupled, all right? In the United States, we have four times as many prisoners as Great Britain does, and six times as many prisoners as Canada. Isn't that wonderful? We cycle through the jail, in and out, every year, 12,000 people. The United States has the highest prison population in the world. One out of four in jail in the world, well, let me put it this way, these numbers, you can get screwy on them. The United States has 5% of the world's population, but it has 25% of the jailed people in the world. We have 5% of the world's population, but we have 25% of the jailed population of the world. this is interesting too. 41% of all Americans are arrested by age 23. 41% of all Americans are arrested by age 23. We have youth prisons now. Jails that kids go to up to 18 or 21. We've always had them. They're juvenile facilities. Well, they're too much for a county or a state to handle now, so they've privatized them. They turn over the operation of these jails to private companies. And I think this is a terrible mistake. I always have said it. And the reason, here are some examples why I'm against it. These private companies require a contract, and they have to have a guaranteed number of beds that are going to be filled every day. And that number is generally 90%. If the population of the juvenile jail falls below 90%, they're guaranteed 90%, and so the taxpayers pay the difference. Okay? They get the money, and they don't do anything for it. The other thing is crime. Crime, greed comes into play. About 3 years ago, two judges, family court judges in the state of Pennsylvania, where in their county they had established a private jail. It was privatized, the jail for kids. Started sending a lot of kids to jail. He was sending them for 2 days, 4 days. A girl with straight A's who talked back to a teacher was sent to jail for 4 days. It traumatized the hell out of her. And the authorities got suspicious. They checked into it. And these are judges, were getting kickbacks, okay? Both of them are doing long-term now in prison, okay? Both of them. And they deserve to be in prison. What we've got to do, and what Lewis suggests, is that you can't send everybody to jail for everything. There are stupid crimes, carrying an ounce of pot in your pocket, snorting crack. Not healthy, but you do it, but you're not selling the stuff. Things like that. Petty crimes, breaking into a store at night to steal. Nobody's in the store. You don't even carry a gun. Where we have small crimes, we should not send them to jail. We've got to chastise them somehow, make them do, you know, public service, whatever. But we can't keep sending people to jail for stupid, petty crimes. Jail should be for the guy who robs the bank or kills somebody for a big deal. One of the reasons our jails are full is that back in the 1960s, what I'm going to explain briefly now started. Governor Rockefeller of New York was the first. Drugs were a problem. We were aware of it then. They weren't as bad as they are now, but they were terrible back then, okay, because they were new. And he says, I'm going to take care of the drug problem. Anyone caught dealing in drugs in any way, even smoking a joint, is going to jail. They're going to jail. Just smoking a joint put you in jail with mandatory sentences. He sat down in writing and had the legislature pass the law, which said you do this, you get 5 years. You do this, you get 10 years. You do this, you get 20 years. And his feeling was that this was going to stop people, put the fear of God in them from dealing with or using drugs. Well, you know it did not work. An interesting situation. We have a problem. We got people in jail for years now for petty drug crimes that they shouldn't be in there. These people are costing you, what, $68,000 a year to keep in jail. You hear me? Taxpayer dollars. There is a federal judge in Brooklyn, John Gleason. He's been on the bench a long time. He sentenced a man 20 years ago to 53 years in jail. What the guy did was, his name was Franco Holloway. He had three carjackings. He did it though with a gun. He was armed. And he also had a shop where he chopped up stolen cars. 53 years? If you murder somebody in most states, they give you 25 to life and you're out in 25. Generally 18 years. This guy got a mandatory, because the federal law, our boys in Congress, they know what they're doing. We're going to send them to jail. The judge has no discretion. We're going to say how long they got to serve. This guy gets 53 years. Well, the judge thought this was wrong, and he felt bad about it. And he got together with the United States attorney, and he decided it was wrong, too. Now, this man's already served 20 years. Today, He is before, and I don't know what happened, but he was coming before the judge again, and the judge was going to release him based on time served, 20 years, because the judge has publicly announced this was wrong, this mandatory sentencing was wrong. I know it's against the rules, but I'm not going to keep this guy in jail another day for the crimes he did. 20 years is already too long. And the prosecutor, the U.S. attorney, agrees with him. I'm going to share with you now something you are absolutely not going to believe, but it's true. It's wild what I'm going to share with you. It shocks me. It shocks my conscience. It shocks my mind. And it's going to shock you in every respect also. Let me say, first of all, I've mentioned the name Michael Snyder many times on this show and my writings and so forth. This guy's a terrific investigative reporter. He comes up with beauties every now and then, and he's generally the first one to expose something. He writes for an outfit called Blacklisted News. I mean, they come from left field. But his stuff is always right. He's always right on. And he's in this now and with what I'm going to share with you. We have, in the United States, and I didn't know this, an Office of Population Affairs, like the old OPA, Office of Population Affairs. It is a department of the Department of Health and Human Services. The purpose, as a practical matter, is population control, family planning, reproductive health care services, research. Specifically, the purpose is to control or reduce the size of population. Control or reduce the size of population. This department, Office of Population Affairs, was created by Congress in 1970. Okay? They are, now here's where we go, they are pro-abortion and pro-sterilization. Oh, oh, oh. They think abortion's a good thing. If you got too many people, you see, we're going to come to a point, they believe, at some point, where we're going to have too many people living in the United States and all over the world, and we can't feed them all. So what do? We can't have so many babies. That's what they're saying. And as China has, you know, China has one baby rule. They say they're going to two, but they haven't yet. You have more than one kid. It's mandatory abortion in China. Mandatory abortion. Well, they talk. This department says we should have mandatory abortion. We should have male sterilization, female sterilization. We should use contraceptive devices more. Here we are for years now, and more recently we're talking about contraception problems in court. Abortion's been an issue, it seems, forever. And yet here is a department of the United States government that is pro-abortion and pro-sterilization because they want to stem population growth. They have as part of this Office of don't you find this disgusting? This Office of Population Affairs, a family planning clinic. And the purpose of the family planning clinic is to get rid of, and I quote, unintended pregnancies. Unintended pregnancies. Women, girls who get pregnant, you have an abortion. We're against abortion, I thought. It's abortion's proper, but we don't provide funds for it, yet we got a government agency saying this is the way things should be done. Again, the goal is to make sure we don't increase the population of this country. Now, there is female discrimination involved in this thing. You're going to love this. These people believe that we should limit the size of a family to one or two children. And then you got to make sure that people, because we're going to have sex, make sure somebody doesn't get pregnant again. And the way to do it, when you got the woman on the table after she delivers her first or second child, whatever the law says she can have, then you sterilize her. You do whatever you have to do to her medically to make sure she can't get pregnant. This is more expensive than a man having a vasectomy. But this office, this is all on the Internet, by the way. If you want to look up Office of Population Affairs, tons of stuff on this. The office says, you know, men don't like to have surgery with their privates. They really disapprove of vasectomies. And even though it's cheaper than a female sterilization, women don't seem to be bothered. So we'll put the burden on the woman to make sure there aren't any more kids. Now, if that isn't female discrimination, I don't know what is. Let's go a little further. Let's talk about who our presidents listen to on this stuff. President Obama has a science advisor, big guy in the field, not just this field, a big scientist worldwide, John Holdren. Close to Obama, Obama thinks of him highly, okay? Well, Holdren, he advocates limiting population worldwide, okay, by areas. We'll divide the United States like into four quarters, I'm saying. Worldwide, we'll divide land like that. And in each area, you can only have so many people. He calls it compulsory population control laws. Compulsory population. And this includes abortion, he says, because he says, abortion can be constitutional and will be sustained by the courts if overpopulation becomes so great and so severe that it endangers society. Now, they also believe people who overproduce, have more than one or two children, should be required by law to exercise reproductive responsibility. And I told you about the surgery thing where the women have to do it, not the men. And another way that they talk about doing it is and this is the woman again, I don't believe this, at the time of puberty, a sterilization capsule is implanted under the skin of the girl at the age of puberty, which cannot be removed without official permission. These great men in Washington again. Cannot be removed without official permission, and the purpose is to limit the number of births. Bush had a scientist too. His name was John Ehrlich. You've heard of John Ehrlich. He said we must pay more attention to only permitting births sufficient to be sustained by the earth we live on. And I quote, listen to what he said. You're going to love this. Nobody, in my view, has the right to have 12 children or even three unless the second pregnancy is twins. Nobody, in my view, has the right to have 12 children or even three unless the second pregnancy is twins. Well, these are both highly recognized and respected men in the scientific community. What are you going to do? Now, let's talk about money. There's a budget. This department's in business. It's 1970. Since 2011, the budget has been for the Department of Population Affairs $280 million to $298 million a year. That's a lot of money. Now, listen to what Lewis is saying. That money is appropriated by the House. The House is in charge of the dollars, the budget. They go through the budget. This Office of Population Affairs is in the budget for that $280, $300 million every year. It's going for pro-abortion, pro-sterilization, all the things I've talked about. Don't these idiots know what is in the laws they are passing, that budget? They fight issues that they shouldn't fight. They fight windmills, these guys. If they're against abortion, they're against contraception, this department shouldn't even exist. And yet we sustain it with $280 to $300 million a year, Congress's fault. I tried to determine how all this interacts with Obamacare. I couldn't. I don't understand all this stuff. But that's in play, too. But Obamacare doesn't seem to stop this group from doing what they're doing. Okay, that's the show for the week. Limited issues this week, if you noticed. I hope you enjoyed it. I thought the Black Jesus thing was terrific. I also thought double set of children were taken care of and we're failing in our responsibility. But the best is the Office of Population Affairs, a United States department that's pro-abortion, pro-sterilization. We should be ashamed in this country. I wrote a book, I tell you every week. Buy my book. Read it. If you like the show, you'll like my book. If you don't like the show, you won't like the book. It's The World Upside Down. It's available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. The World Upside Down by Louis Patron. I guarantee you will find it interesting if you find this show interesting. I'm glad that you joined me again this week. I look forward to speaking with you next week. In the meantime, Have a good time. Have a happy time, because I'm worried about what the government's going to do to us in the meantime. Good night, folks.